As we close this service this evening, I felt that we could do no better than turn to another text in the book of the Revelation. In fact, we were looking at this passage on Wednesday evening at the prayer meeting. But I felt tonight that we could do no better than place a final amen and hallelujah to all we have read and all we have sung in the words of Revelation chapter 1, verse 5 and verse 6. Midway through the fifth verse, "Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." I think there is no verse better fitted to express the voice of rejoicing and salvation than this beloved text of Scripture. This is a song from John's heart. John did not learn this song from heaven. We read in this book of the Revelation of many things that he heard from heaven, things undoubtedly that he would never forget. But while there were great songs in glory, this is not one that he heard first in heaven. This is one that rolls up from earth, from a swelling heart that had caught its first glimpse in this great vision of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's very important that we recognize that this is the song of saints while they're still on the earth. Chapter 5 of Revelation gives us the song of saints in heaven. The message is very simple but very profound, that they who would ever sing the song of the redeemed in heaven must first learn its melody and its message here on earth. On earth they sing amid tribulation, before in heaven they ever sing in glory. We read in Revelation 1 that John was an exile on the island of Patmos. We read that he was a prisoner for the sake of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But here is no bitter old man licking his wounds. Here is a saint of God with the joy of heaven in his soul. And though an exiled prisoner, yet he sings. The context of the song is magnificent, one of the most outstanding in all of Scripture. The verses preceding this show us how John has come to a fresh understanding of the majesty of our triune God. He has caught a glimpse of the reality of the eternal Father, of the perfect and powerful and gracious Holy Spirit, and then of the Mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the context, the song that John sings teaches us that the grace of our triune God causes his redeemed people to give glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. I want us tonight, as we close out this meeting, to think for a moment then of the saints' praise for their Savior. John shows us what it is for saints truly to praise the Lord. I learn from John's great song in the verse we have read this evening that saints rejoice in the person of Christ. Notice how the song commences and how it concludes. "Unto him." And then at the end of verse 6, "To him be glory and dominion forever and ever." Unto him. That's how he starts. Unto him. That's how he finishes. This great doxology is a doxology that praises the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. John has just been thinking of Christ the Mediator in the presence of the eternal triune God. John has just come to a fresh understanding of the unique glory of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore he sings, "Unto Him who hath loved us, unto Him be glory and dominion." And in this, John speaks for every Christian. Through Christ, we stand rightly related to God. What would we know about God apart from Christ? The entire Old Testament revelation is given to us through the mediation of Jesus Christ. Never forget that. It is my firm conviction, the more I read the Bible, the more I try to ponder the meaning of the titles given to Christ, especially that great title. Perhaps we'll look at it a little more fully next week. In the first chapter of John, where he is called the Logos, the Word. It's my firm conviction that no created being, human or angelic, has ever known anything of God except through the Son of God. It is my conviction that any communication with any creature except through the Son would be for the immediate and ultimate ruin of the creature. And as John now is contemplating the glory of God in the Trinity of His sacred persons, he realizes, "I can know nothing of God except through the Son. I could know nothing of the mighty movings of the Holy Spirit except through the Son." And therefore, John sings his note of praise to the person of Jesus Christ. And for that very same reason, we rejoice in Christ, our Mediator. As I pointed out on Wednesday evening, describing Christ, John speaks of Him as our prophet. He is the faithful and true witness. As our priest, He is the first begotten from the dead. And as our King, He is the Prince of the kings of the earth. What a picture of Christ, the Mediator, in His offices of prophet and priest and King. And here's our rejoicing. We rejoice that we can trust His Word. As our prophet, He is faithful. As our prophet, He is true. As our prophet, He reveals to us by His Word and Spirit the will of God for our salvation. Every word of God is pure. Every word of God is trustworthy. Tonight, as we rejoice in the living Christ, we rejoice that we can trust His Word. We can launch out on the sea of life. We can cross the river of death. We can get into the great ocean of eternity with total confidence that nothing in time, nothing in death, nothing throughout eternity will ever negate one syllable of the word of Christ our prophet. We take our stand tonight upon the promise that is true. We take our stand upon the impregnable rock of the witness of the Son of God. I have His Word for it, that I'm accepted of God. What better assurance can I have? That's better than feeling. That's better than an angel coming to tell you you're saved. That's better than a light shining from heaven. Peter says, this is the more sure, the more confirmed word of prophecy. We trust the word of our mediator. We can trust His blood, for He's our priest. He died. I always think that that hymn that we sang tonight is one of the greatest hymns ever penned. I think if we were to sing it every Sabbath day, it would not be too much for me. Man of sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah, what a Savior. That's the spirit of John's song. And I trust tonight, as you've been here to hear the reading and to read and to sing, I trust tonight you'll go out of this place not saying the brass played well, the violins did well, the pianist plays well, the organist can do this, the hymn sound. Those are all means to an end. I trust tonight you'll go out of this place with a heart in tune with glory, and you'll honestly be saying, hallelujah, hallelujah, what a Savior. He went all the way to Calvary. We heard tonight that awful cry from the cross. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? But then we followed him. We saw him rise from the tomb. We saw him conqueror o'er the grave. We trust his blood, yes, but we trust his power, for he is now the risen, reigning, kingly Christ of glory. Saints rejoice in the person of Christ, for they trust his word, they trust his blood, they trust his power. But saints also rejoice in the salvation of Christ. Unto him John sings, who hath loved us. And then, who hath washed us from our sins in his own blood. And finally, who hath made us kings and priests, or a kingdom of priests, unto God and his Father. Here is the salvation of God. We rejoice in this. He loved us. He loved us. I think if there's one word that the devil set out to rob of its meaning, it is the word love. In the debasements that have overtaken the English tongue, none is so terrible, I think, as the debasement of that holy word. This is the word that God has chosen to unveil his innermost being. I have to be honest. This is a text I cannot even begin to deal with. I have preached on it, I have pondered it, and I can never plumb its depths. We were reading at the family Bible reading the other morning in 1 John chapter 4. God is love. I don't begin to understand that. My mind went back to the Old Testament scripture. Thou art the high and lofty one who inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. And I thought for a moment, holy is a descriptive adjective. It is a tremendous, deep and glorious declaration of the character of God. But love is not a descriptive adjective. Love, I hardly know even words in which to put it. Love is a noun of essence. And yet, we miss the meaning. We are so circumscribed by the filthiness and the follies and the debasements of men as they have mistreated this great word that we can hardly grasp what the Holy Spirit is saying. He loved us. He loved us because God is love. Tonight, as you think of the person of the blessed Son of God, as you think of that mightiest miracle God ever did, the miracle of the Incarnation, as you think of the God of glory veiled in the flesh of a newborn babe, as you see Him tramp the dusty roads of Galilee and Judea, as you see Him sweat blood in Gethsemane, as you see Him flogged at Gabbatha, stretched out upon a Roman gibbet at Golgotha, in every drop of blood, in every twitch of agony, I want you to hear the words, He loved us. Oh, tonight, God's people have a right to sing, to rejoice in the love of God in Christ. For herein is love, not that we loved God, but that God loved us and gave His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. He loved us. And He washed us from our sins in His own blood. There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. His own blood. Spurgeon commented wryly, men are very careful of their own blood. Kings and commanders who commit thousands to a battlefield and watch the corpses pile one upon another with little more than a raised eyebrow are yet very careful of their own blood. The Lord Jesus Christ poured out His soul unto death. He shed His own precious, precious blood, that sinless, spotless, incorruptible blood. He shed it freely, willingly. And thank God He has applied it to every believing soul. We sing tonight, He has washed our sins away, gone forever, in the precious blood that He shed. And He has made us a kingdom of priests with access to His sanctuary to reign with Him in grace and to reign with Him in glory. I was reading the other morning of the words of the Lord to Joshua the high priest in Zechariah chapter 3, when He promised him, after having taken away his filthy garments and decked him out in the garments of righteousness and placing a fair mitre upon his head, He promised him an access with these that draw near to the throne. Thank God today we rejoice that we draw near. We can draw near. We are kings. We are no longer servants of sin. We're no longer the playthings of the devil. We are kings. We reign with Christ and shall do so. We are priests. The veil of the temple, as we heard read this evening, has been rent in twain from top to bottom by a mighty act of the sovereign grace and power of God, marking forever the fullness and the finality of the work of Christ. And as priests, we enter into the holiest of all. We have a place among those who draw nigh. We rejoice in the salvation of God. And finally, of course, we rejoice as saints in the exaltation of our Savior. I want you to follow carefully. We not only exalt the Savior, but the mark of the Christian is that he rejoices wherever Christ is exalted. He not only praises the Savior, but he praises God for the praise of the Savior. That's why John climaxes this great doxology. To him be glory and dominion forever. To him be glory and dominion forever. I would to God tonight that as we leave this house, however much we love the name of a church or a preacher or an organization or a theology or whatever, we will put it all to the side and we will say from our hearts, to him be glory and dominion forever. John saw the glorified Christ and rejoiced in the full victory of his cross. Tonight, let's ask for just a glimpse of the glory of the Savior. All that God would bear in upon our hearts, the truth of the majesty, the beauty, the glory of our incomparable Christ. John saw Christ as continually triumphant over all the powers of the serpent and the beast. That's the message of the book of the Revelation in a nutshell. It's Christ constantly triumphant over earth and hell. In other words, John was rejoicing in Christ's present, ongoing throne work. Let us rejoice tonight. We have a Savior who is now exalted. Oh, I know he's coming back in glory. I know that then will go up that great cry, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. But he is now glorified. Let us rejoice in his throne work. It's my conviction that we as Christians would live much more happily and we would live much more successfully if we could only grasp the throne work of Christ and our throne union with Christ. And John saw him coming again in glory, rejoicing in the victory of his return. He saw him then reigning over all his foes and ruling the nations with a rod of iron. He rejoiced in his everlasting triumph. You know, as he rejoiced in those things, I think he rejoiced not least because Christ is not exalted alone. One of the most outstanding verses in the book of the Revelation is Revelation 3:21. I never cease to draw your attention to this because I feel that this is a verse that is overlooked because it stands so close to that other famous verse, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." People very rarely get beyond verse 20. Now, verse 20 is a magnificent, magnificent word of grace. And yet, dare I say it, it pales into insignificance in comparison with this. To him that overcometh, that is his description of the Christian, will I grant to sit with me on my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in His throne. It's a magnificent thing that Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him. I will sit down and sup with him. That is a marvelous statement of grace. But now he takes it to the ultimate degree of glorious grace. And he says, not only will I sit down with you, but I will lift you up and I will set you to reign with me. I will associate every saint of God with me, even as my Father associates me with Him in the throne of His glory. If the Bible hadn't said that, I don't think there'd ever have been a preacher so bold as even to think it. Have we not cause to sing? No wonder John could sing amid tribulation. Christ found him a sinner. In an out-of-the-way little fishing village in Galilee, Christ found him there and called him and said, follow me. Now look where he brings him. Can we not testify the same tonight? Where were you when the Lord Jesus found you? What were you when the Lord Jesus found you? And yet, behold what He hath done. That's why we lift this voice of rejoicing and of salvation. Unto Him who hath loved us and washed us from our sins in His own precious blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and His Father, unto Him be glory and dominion forever and forever. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's all pray. As I close this service tonight, let me ask you if the testimony I have outlined from God's Word is your testimony. And if it's not, let me ask you tonight, what keeps you from Christ? For whatever it is, understand this, it is sin. Simply sin. But what should you do with sin? Bring it to the cross. Thank God there's power. There's wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. I trust you'll not go out of this meeting until you also are rejoicing in praise to the Savior who hath loved us and washed us from our sins. Father in heaven, bless thy word to every heart. We do thank thee for this time of praise to thy name. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. O Lord, among all thy creatures, thou must be praised. But tonight we confess that more than angels even, we have cause to praise thee. We give thee our thanks. We praise thee for the blessed Lamb of God. Make him precious to every Christian. And grant as we go from this place, it will be to make him known. Remember every unconverted man and woman and young person. Lord, it grieves our hearts to think that they can sing these hymns and read these scriptures and yet remain unconverted. God, have mercy upon them. Open their hearts and bring them to Christ. Hear our cry. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit our Comforter, be the abiding portion of all God's blood-bought people this Sabbath evening and forevermore. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.